Hello, and I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Online Army Showcase. We got our last review of the year for you, StarCraft the Board Game. Is it a good game, or do we just like the fact that the pieces look like Skittles? Find out in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield! Welcome to episode 25 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Online Army Showcase at army.rocklesoftware.com. That's army.rocklesoftware.com.
We can spell.
Oh, sorry. No, the reason I did that is one of the emails we got, the guy was saying I was talking kind of fast, the web address.
See? Oh, really?
Yeah,
the web address too?
Just spell it out for you guys.
All right. Accept that.
Or if you just search for Tabletop Battlefield or Online Army Showcase, you know, it should be the first thing that comes up in the Google. So
sounds good.
All right, like I said here, we're going to dive into our last and final review of this year, which is StarCraft the Board Game by Fantasy Flight Games. And we're going to do the same kind of setup we've done in the past. If you've seen some of our other reviews, we do the whole, you know, haterade, so sweet stuff. Except we got one new card we're going to introduce here for this episode. Have some fun with it. So normally we start off here with first impressions. So
first impressions.
Let's see, who wants to go first?
I guess, you know what, I'll go first.
Let's start with Kyle. Let's go down the road. Kyle?
You know what? It did look like Skittles at first. I was like, what's this? You know, plastic pieces of crap here? I have random board pieces? And some random cards. I was like, well, you know, I don't know how this is going to relate to the game because I love playing the game. But, you know what, I was like, hey, you know, it's got to be anything better than WizKids makes. So I was like, oh, I'm willing to try it.
Already off of the WizKids digs. All right. So, anything else?
Well, that was my first impressions. Okay. I mean, you know.
My first impression was seeing, I played the Halo Action Clicks game, and how the figures almost looked like those, and the fact that the board pieces were better, but the figures are actually a little bit more downgraded than the Halo Action.
Yeah, they're not painted.
No, they're not painted, so it would have been nice if they were a bit fancier. But I can understand the color coordinating, so you don't get the monsters mixed up.
All right, well, I'll jump in for the last first, and then this game has actually been in development for a number of years. I think it was announced really not too long after the actual computer came out and became an absolutely massive hit. So, I should say, I'm also a long-standing fan of the computer game. I bought it like the first week it came out. And,
yeah, I did too.
And of course, I'm the Zerg player here, so I got all my little Zerg pieces in front of me. But there wasn't a lot of information about the game. So like I said, it's been in development a long time. It's actually gone through, I think, actually redevelopment. They actually brought out a couple years ago, and people played it and said it was downright awful. So that's what I heard. I'm not 100% sure about that.
When did this come out?
Maybe they didn't do a whole lot of change. Like maybe 2 years ago or something.
We didn't hear about
that. No, because I've been wondering whatever happened to it. I had no idea who got the license to do it. Whether it was like Games Workshop or in this case Fantasy Flight or maybe I don't know Mongoose Publishing or somebody picked, but. So I haven't heard nothing about it. I wanted to be a miniature board game. This is not really a miniature board game. It's more of a board game.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, we normally just talk about miniature board games on this show, but since I love StarCraft, I've been following this game for so long, I had to just get it on here and do a review of it. So, like, I forget whatever game I said it was like. Or not like.
Well, X's
not like,
and Allies?
No, well, it's X and Allies-ish, but I said the wrong thing. I was thinking, like a game before I said where it wasn't, I don't know if I'm excited about, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted it to be. Oh, Halo Action Clicks. Like
okay.
How it's not the kind of game I want it to be, but that doesn't mean it's a bad game. It's just different than what I wanted it to be. So, we'll get some more details about whether you liked it or not just later on, so. But I think it turned out decently well. I mean, it's definitely worth the money. You got all this crap in front of us.
Well, you know, we should just, let's go through, you know, what's about this game, and then we can all, sure. You know, say how we thought about it, and then go from there.
We usually do a turn sequence of how you play a turn. This thing takes so long. And we were here for like half an hour just playing out a turn. All the little
and I can't talk that long. So.
So, when we talk a little bit about. We each got three factions. You've obviously got the Terrans, who like he used to play mostly in the StarCraft game. You've got the Protoss, but you never actually really played much of StarCraft before.
No,
so
never.
That's an interesting, different take on it. Of course, I'm the Zerg, so why don't we talk about what we got in front of us, just here. Explain a little bit of what each of us got.
We have it's exactly like the game. If you've ever played StarCraft...
The original game, not
the original
War, not
this
not
two. Is setting during the middle of StarCraft, actually, right after Kerrigan becomes the Queen of Blades. Mm-hmm. So, in this case, we all can be different armies. There's six total, three for each...
two for each.
Two for each group, I'm sorry.
All three races, two for each, so...
And in this case, I was playing as Jim Raynor for, you know, last couple games. And it has all the Terran units. Let's start Marine, Ghost, a Firebat, Vulture...
Goliath.
Yep, Goliath. Siege Tank.
Battlecruiser.
Battlecruiser, Wraith, and Science Vessel are, you know, the nine figures for the Terran units, and they pretty much seem to be playing out with the same type of specialty weapons and unique abilities as...
Nuclear launch detected.
Especially the nuclear launch, which
I had finally got to use against me.
Yes,
finally got to use it.
In three games. It took me three games to before I was able to use it. But you can go ahead and explain what you know about the Protoss.
Well, there's not much I can explain about because this is my second time playing this game or even hearing about this type of game. I think the thoughts that I had playing this game was the nostalgic feeling of, I don't know if you guys were ever big with like the Command & Conquer games back when it was like Super Nintendo.
Not Super Nintendo.
Real-time
strategy, PC or nothing.
Yes, absolutely.
Seriously, if you, I mean, I tried playing Command & Conquer 3 on the Xbox 360.
It
felt like you're drunk. I mean, it's because you try to move over the unit, but you're always like to tab it off in either direction. It's just so messy. Yeah.
Well, those of you who did not have a computer when they were younger, I enjoyed the Super Nintendo version immensely, and I think I got like halfway through the game, then I got bored with it because I was working on Zelda or something like that.
Okay.
But it reminded me a lot of how you play this game is you got all your certain upgrades, and you can upgrade within the strategy time, and it's almost strategic, almost like Command & Conquer, which I enjoy greatly.
Well, StarCraft can draw some of its roots to Command & Conquer, because the company that made this, Blizzard, made Warcraft, which is the precursor to StarCraft, and Warcraft and Command & Conquer came out right about the same time. So they, Command & Conquer was Modern Warfare, Warcraft was Fantasy Orcs.
And this was our ideal... Dominate, Destroy?
Control, Dominate, Destroy. Episode 17,
exactly.
Watch about it.
This
hilarious.
Was our actual, what we visioned for that, but eight years ago?
Probably almost 10 years ago.
10 years ago,
We made that when I was in middle school, around the time of Command & Conquer.
But the Protoss here are more technologically, advanced. Generally, you can't build as much, but they have the same units as in the StarCraft game, so if you played it, you'll know exactly
The less units, but tougher.
Exactly.
And some of you, I mean, for some those of you watching this who have never heard of this game, never played this game before like me, it's very easy to learn. Like, I think I picked up on it like the first hour playing the game. And then the second game we just played.
You definitely improved to the second game.
Yeah, I almost won, and I had a lot more fun doing that. I was able to get a lot more guys on the field.
It came down to the very last turn.
The last turn, each of us had an opportunity to win, but I screwed up, and Ryan screwed up, and Kyle took the second win. But we can talk about that later in the end. So,
all right.
I'll just jump a little bit about the Zerg and a little bit about the overall gameplay. Like, obviously, if you're familiar with the Zerg, we've got all the units from the first StarCraft, the Zerglings, the Hydralis, the Guardians, the Ultralis, the Mutalis, the Scourge guys, which do fly into people and blow them up. You got the Queens, who have all the special abilities, the Parasites back, the Spawn Broodlings, you've got the Defiler, who do consume the Dark Plague, all those cool special abilities. But the one thing that's a little bit different than the computer game is a little bit more abstract in how the bases are built. So you don't have all the structures, you have a more simplified structure, but you have the same basic structure. Like the Zerg has a spawning pool, the Queen's Nest, and the Spire, where it doesn't, normally, in the full game, they'd have the Ultralis Den, Hydralis Den, the Defiler Mound, all that crap. So, it's more simplified and more streamlined for the computer game, just because it's more practical this way for a board game.
Absolutely.
Same with the resources. They're more streamlined, and we'll talk about a little more about that in details. Well, they're more simplified for board game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, if you try to make it as the, computer game, it'll just take too long.
A lot of the defensive structures are still there. Bunkers, the arrow missile tower things, the sunken colonies, the spore colonies, the photon cannons. So like all the defensive structures are there. They function
slightly
different. So some things are slightly different, but they're still pretty dang close.
They try to get as best as possible to the actual game.
Yeah. So I just want to go as quickly as I can, over how the basic gameplay is laid out here. So you obviously fight on these little planets, and they have little symbols on them that represent how much Vespaian gas and minerals or control points. Mm-hmm. Like you can win by getting control points. So basically you control areas very similar to Axis and Allies. Same kind of style, where you move from location to location, very abstract combat. You issue orders out doing a really cool method with these little, we'll get to talk about later, these order tokens, which symbolize what three things you can do is mobilize, where you move and attack, you got build, where you can build bases, research, where you can go get cool new technology and do other fun things. So order guys around, you place things face down on planets, so your opponents know where you're going to act, but they don't know what you're going to do.
And it's possible that you may have nothing on a planet that you're actually going to use.
Yes, so you can actually essentially make an illegal move, but throwing the opponent off or even blocking them. Because, like, for example, I place a token down on this planet, Kyle can drop one on top of it, and he can effectively block that order until he executes his first.
Exactly.
So you can really mess people up. Like,
and you have to execute orders when you have the ability to, and if you don't, then you have to, we'll talk about those cards a little bit later.
Yeah.
Or are we going to talk about them now?
Well, I'll just give a brief overview of
them. Okay.
But like what's the cool thing about the placing the orders on top of each other, the second game I won because I screwed over Kyle by doing
that. Well, the very last turn.
We'll get to those things later.
Because I was about to beat you. Without that card, you were going to lose. You know you were going to lose. And it upset me.
Yes.
I'm glad
I
won this game.
Yes. He's got his vengeance. But yeah, the time in the game is covered with these things called event cards. So certain events will cause you to draw these cards, and they give you special powers. When the deck essentially gets down to a certain point, the game is going to end. So these cards are essentially like a timekeeping method to keep the game moving. You can move from planet to planet through little navigation routes, jumping around.
It also keeps
transports and things, so.
Which are required to jump from planet to planet, is the transport.
And we'll definitely get into more detail later as the combat, but it's all card-driven. And there's not a single dice roll in this entire game, which is, so.
It's a lot less luck.
Yeah, a lot less luck.
And I like the fact that not having no dice. Because I'm not very lucky with dice. Jason knows that.
Yes. Those 20-sided dice of HeroScape, you really hate those. Yes.
Really? You don't roll those well?
No.
Dice are wicked.
But the blue...
Jason hates my Steel Wolf dice.
Yeah, I hate the Steel Wolf.
The blue 20-sided die that comes from the...
Jandar? The Jandar Commander.
Yeah. That those dice I'm pretty lucky with. So.
Oh, okay. All right, you guys ready to dive into the main portion of the review?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and I'll run through exactly how we do things here, just so if you've never watched this before. Normally we have two cards in front of us here. We got Haterade and So Sweet. So how this works is we're going to go in order. I'll start and do a little demo run.
Okay.
And I will pick a topic, whatever. It can be very specific. It can be kind of generic. And then I'll say whether I liked it or not. If I liked it, we're going to get the So Sweet card coming out. If I didn't like it, we got the Haterade card coming out. And then Ryan will say, did he like it, yes or no. Kyle will say, did he like it, yes or no. And we'll go ahead and have a very short time debate about why we our various viewpoints. So the person who starts off will get about 30 seconds to explain their viewpoint. And then the other guys can jump in and count their points or give their suggestions why or why not. And the other thing I'm going to add to this, because this is StarCraft and based on existing IP for computer game franchise, Kyle and I are going to have a little extra discussion in the same time. Is this mechanic like StarCraft? Is it really a StarCraft mechanic? It makes it feel like the computer game, or is it just something they pulled out of the middle of nowhere, you know, they're kind of sticking here and just...
It came pulled right out of their...
See, that's why I paused. I was going to say that. Like, well, we tried to run a family podcast here.
Yeah, that's true.
I better stop that. So,
I mean, they might be on the next episode. We could edit it out and add it in.
So, anyway, a little
shadow. He pulled out what? Out of it.
That's enough. Censored.
I've been good.
Cuckoo.
So, anyway...
Are you saying I'm crazy here? You know, you're going to stop something?
No,
you know, who's beating you
whenever
twice?
They do a censor thing, they always block it with a cuckoo.
You
know, at least Jason did with mine.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember censored you. Apparently, oh, well.
Ryan censored? Wow.
Different video. I know what he's talking about. Yeah, that's the reason
we can't,
that's
we can't mention it in,
yeah,
in
we
this.
Can't. That's kinda, so, the discussions are going to be 3 minutes long per topic. So, we're kind of trying to move relatively quickly. We have a third card here. Each of us got one. It's a single use. You can only use it once the entire show. It says soapbox on it. You climb on top of your soapbox and you run your mouth for as long as you can. I added this mainly because back in our Halo Action Clicks review, I ran my mouth way too much. I basically dominated the conversation.
And you know what? You still have yet to introduce me to Halo Click. The Halo Wars.
Yeah, we'll do that
later. You're disappointing me here. You know what? I had an opportunity.
Well, you didn't show up on that day.
I wasn't told about it.
Yeah, I told you about it. I always tell you about the reviews.
What day was this?
It was a long time ago.
Third week of September is the week before Halo Game 3 came out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
was it Saturday?
Yeah, so I was going to get you and one other guy on, but both. Well, the one other guy was at the Tigers game, but oh,
so he had to use me.
Yeah, you're good. But okay, we'll deal with that later. Don't worry
about that.
So yeah, so if someone decides to play their soapbox on that topic for the first 2 minutes to 3 minutes, they get to run their mouth, and the other two guys can't say a dang thing. They just got to sit there and listen about it. So use it and use it wisely because you only get to use it once.
Unfortunately, since it's Jason's podcast, you know, he might just turn up another one from nowhere. I mean, where did this come from? I thought you said only one.
I have like 7 more copies of this card, but they're all upstairs. Okay, let's dive into the actual review here. I'm going to go first. Let's get a timer set up. 3 minutes for the first topic. I want to talk about the order tokens, the whole order-driven system, how it works. And I think it's so freaking sweet. What do you think, Ryan?
Order tokens as in what?
The whole order token system, you place these guys down.
That definitely is very good.
No, I can't bring up the soapbox yet.
All right, so we're all three in agreement being so sweet. So, like I said, how it works, you get these little tokens, you place down on planets, so you know where you're going to act. Your opponents know where you're going to act, but they don't know what you're going to do.
They have ideas sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you can kind of get an idea when I basically got a massive army sitting here and I put a token down on this planet. Obviously, you're going to assume it's probably going to attack.
Yeah. It could be something about you can fake that action, though, and deploy something somewhere else.
Because I love the whole strategic aspects of it are, one, you can screw your opponent over. That's everything. Anything that can screw your opponent over is worth it and is downright freaking awesome.
I agree.
Yep.
And two, you can screw yourself over. Not only the fact that, if you do something stupid where you put the wrong token down.
That prevents you from, making too many careless mistakes. Otherwise, you're going to lose. You can't just go on blind luck like in dice rolling and, do something stupid and magically come out of it unscathed. Mm-hmm.
And you got to think backwards because, the first order token you put down on the planet is going to be the last one that planet to be activated.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
caused me
go,
some problems.
Oh,
yeah.
Cause all of some problems.
Is that the right word you were saying?
For this podcast, yes. So what do you guys? You guys, anything else you want to add about them?
I think it builds a much better strategy into the game. It gives you 3 different options, and there's special tokens where if you get the research, special lab like I do. Each of us has something special to build.
Get the upgrade modules give you even more powerful actions.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll talk about the gold tokens.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
Okay, what do you guys want to say? I mean, you guys use them more than I do. I tend to forget.
Yeah, I know. They could really help you.
They've
helped
very
us.
Much so.
Like special ones are in gold. Unfortunately, they're in the smaller at the bottom of each one.
Where you can do extra.
Oh, that helps too.
Second camera, it helps.
You can do extra things when you mobilize, build, and research.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
for each of those things, you can.
It gives you a couple extra things.
Yeah, it gives you more options.
It does the same basic thing, like mobilizes where you move and or attack or both. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you can draw a couple extra, two extra combat cards and one plus one to attack in each skirmish in that battle.
Well, we've got 30 seconds left in this thing, so I want to say, I think this is StarCraft. Do you agree?
Well, you can't go based on just this whole thing, StarCraft.
But true, because this is more large scale than StarCraft.
Well, I'm just saying it's based on our first thing we're saying, though, we should go through
this
everything.
Aspect of StarCraft.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because, Like, you know, when you play a game of StarCraft, most of the map is hidden. But you can get a general idea of where the person's acting at. Like, you know, they have a base here. They're obviously building there. You know, they see a scout go over here. They're probably going to mobilize there. You see a scout come to your base. They're probably going to mobilize in your direction.
Yeah.
So you get an idea that they're probably going to act in these locations soon, but you don't know exactly what they're going to do, or you don't know what they're going to be building and things like that. So do you agree with that?
I agree.
All right, so Ryan?
I didn't realize we were going with each individual topic. I thought we were going to go with the whole overview, but that's good.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Each individual topic I want to say is a StarCraft or not. All right, go ahead, Ryan. Dive into your choice.
Okay, one thing I hate about the game...
Hate already, but what's that?
Is the fact about your defense. When someone's coming to attack you, You're there defending a spot.
So you don't like the defense stuff?
I don't like the defense to a degree.
Too weak? You're saying like
it's too weak.
Okay,
it's too weak. Your defense is too weak.
What
because
do you think about, so let's just name off the topic first. So defense is too weak. You have defense. Weak defenders.
You know what? They are weak, but that's how things are. You know, I'm going back with the so sweet because you know what? This game's forcing you to attack. It's forcing you to
So sweet.
Yes.
I'm agreeing with that. So sweet. So I think aggressiveness is good. So okay, go back.
Okay. I can tell who's going to be against you here. One thing I want to explain is, the defense. I'd like to see about some countermeasures because usually when a person is attacking you and you're the defender, you like to have some way in order for the attacker to get wiped out, other than. You know the attacker's going to wipe you out. Well, usually, like 95% of the time, the attacker's going to wipe you out.
That's fine. That's true, but the attacker sure decides who to attack. But the fact is, if one defender survives, they have to go back there. They don't take the spot.
So the defender just has to survive the battle. They don't have to defeat the defender.
I haven't been able to defeat Jason, and he's taking over my spot. I'm trying to. I have a swarm of battlecruisers.
A mutilist killed a battlecruiser. Heck yeah.
How that happened, I'll never know.
Okay, well, that's a different topic.
Go ahead. You can explain.
I appreciate that about defense. There are some things about the defense I like, but I think there's more that could be desired to your defense.
Maybe a little bit more special abilities.
Absolutely.
It's possible.
There are some when you're defending your base. Like you get the shield battery.
I get my Protoss.
I have like some colonies. You have the bunkers. But the reason I like the fact that the weakened defense is I love games that are aggressive. I hate games you just sit there and build and build and build. And even StarCraft, you really can't do that. You could, at some point in the StarCraft computer game, you have to become aggressive and swarm the enemy. Because if you just sit there and try to build and build and build, and the opponent outbuilds you, you're going to get destroyed. So, I love games that require you to be aggressive. Not only the fact that I'm the Zerg and Zerg are aggressive. But that's a disclaimer. So what do you think, Cal?
Overall, the defense, I think, maybe they under... the defense strong, too strong on some, and then too weak on others. But overall,
battlecruiser.
Yeah, I don't understand how the battlecruiser got killed by Mulet. But overall though, they did a pretty good job of keeping it how the units would be actually affected by these attacks. As we played in StarCraft, that's how I'm sure you see it.
And the other reference I want to make, like the whole strong defensive thing, like. The first version of our alternate MechWarrior rules, where we had double the range, eventually it came a very defensive game where you literally just had lines of tanks sitting just outside each of the range. That's all the game was for 2 hours. These two tanks sitting just barely outside each of the range to attack. And so, if you have very strong defensive stuff, we have no really incentive to be aggressive. The game just grinds to a halt, and it's not very fun.
In the last 5 seconds, I want to say that as far as the aggressiveness goes, I don't mind the aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have something to where it holds your aggressiveness at bay, to where you're just not totally thinking I'm going to annihilate this ship. Something strategically, defensively that you can do that makes your aggressor think about how am I going to go about doing this.
That can be units, but we're out of time.
It could be units, or it could be cards like the retreat.
Yes, we're out of time now. So
okay, so
next topic, Kyle, your turn.
I would like to go with the resources.
Okay,
and, I want how that is a good idea. I think
like
it's
it
a sweet.
Like it?
Oh,
okay,
I love the resources. how it forces you to, you know, be strategic about it. You know, how you have to mind them.
Let me get my point in first, yeah.
Oh, of course.
So sweet. I agree with him. I love them.
I agree, too.
I'm sorry. Okay. I've been starting already. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because I really like it.
Go ahead. Now you can start talking, time-wise.
Okay.
All right,
well,
go for it.
Back to where I started. Well, in StarCraft, you know, we have, you know, both the Vespeen and the minerals, yes. Like, just so like in the game, if you played it. They're both required to build anything that's on it. And you know what? That is great. It requires both of them. It requires, you know, a balance. You can't just have more one than the other. You can only put so many workers and any resource, or you're going to overmine it. And it keeps you, you know, thinking strategically what you have to do.
Well, why don't you tell the big difference between how the mining works in this game versus StarCraft? There's one huge difference.
Oh, the difference is that the minerals do not run out unless you put more workers on it than the pieces.
Well, other than that, how minerals in this game you can't stockpile.
Oh no, you cannot stockpile.
I could say why that in some ways that's professional StarCraft, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
It gives you limits. Mm-hmm. To what you can do, which is nice.
But
especially to your opponent.
But you did remind me that, yes, that is one thing I kind of wish, you know, maybe we did an attachment, you know, maybe an extra rule where we could actually hold up to a certain amount of resources maybe in storage and then use those resources in the future. So it may create some more strategy, but overall they did, I think, a great job, you know, with these planets, you know, spraying out the resources, making you go to different planets to actually build, you know, bases and, you know, improve upon.
So here's the one thing I say why I think the fact that you can't stockpile resources is a very professional-grade StarCraft. Because, you know, remember our old friend Alex? We used to go there and play StarCraft every day. But don't worry about it. Yeah. But see, the thing is,
all the time.
Yeah, he had some of those cheating programs. But especially early on in a computer game of StarCraft, any good player would never have any resources.
No, they
would be spending every single bit of
resources.
But
towards
the end, but, I mean, even until you get a certain point where you have about two or three bases across the map, you would be spending every single resource you had to build it as fast as you possibly could. And even in StarCraft, there's a limit to how many, you know, guys you could put in any one crystal or any one Vespeian geyser for. It just became totally inefficient to even have them there. So, I mean, I like the fact that, yeah, you can't stockpile them, but if you were playing a really power game of StarCraft, you would not be stockpiling resources anyway.
Yeah, but which is why I'm saying, you know, maybe have a limit, like just those, you know, maybe 10. Even.
Maybe.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, much. You know, if you had more than 10 stockpiles, then you're just being dumb.
Yeah, I think jumping Ryan, we've been talking the whole 3 minutes. So.
Yeah, I'm...
I like the resources, too. And, no, I don't believe you should stockpile them up, because that takes the fun totally out of it. I like the fact that you stockpile, but you still got to watch your own back, because there could be guys that could be ramming down your throat any second.
If you had some kind of stockpile method, you'd have to put in something to where you can actually deplete the resources other than this forced mining thing to have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would literally have this unlimited amount of resources you could build up, and it'd just be, yeah, you know, I think it'd get out of control.
Okay.
All right, it's back to me. Okay, I've got my one...
Where's my,
It's right back in front of you there.
Oh, there.
All right, I've got my one haterade for the game. Just the one thing I really don't like. The game is too friggin' short by the default rules.
I have to agree.
And it's relatively minor.
After playing three games, I would have to agree with that.
Okay, so we need this guy over here. Okay, so what I mean by that is, like I was saying, there's these event cards that basically tick down to when the time runs out. So certain things will cause you to draw these event cards. And there's normally, I think, like 75 in the entire deck, or essentially, it's three phases. Phase one, phase two, or no, sorry, stage one, stage two, stage three. Oops, I hit the wrong button in my timer. I got a few more minutes to run my mouth. Excellent. 60 seconds. So,
and you didn't do that on purpose?
Essentially, no, I didn't do that on purpose, seriously. Stage one and stage two both have 25 cards in them, and when they're all gone, you get to stage three, where the game's going to get very close to ending, because there's like special victory conditions and things that come into play later on. And the thing is, according to the rule books, based on how many players you have, you're supposed to remove a certain amount of cards in both stage one and stage two. But when you do that, the game is really too short. I mean, the first time we did, we followed exactly the way it was the first time, and we didn't build up very many advanced units. We didn't get any big guys out. There was only like a few little battles. We didn't get anywhere near the normal victory totals of where you can do it. So you guys agree with that, or what do you think?
Oh, I completely agree with that. I mean, if you're going, you know, ever, you know, fan of StarCraft, the, you know, computer game, You want to build the big units. You want to have the fun of, you know, using the Yamato gun and blasting away anything in your sights.
Gotta be Carrier Swarm and Guardians.
And you being able to, you know, research the nuke and land one right on top of your Guardian and Ultralisk.
What do you mean short? We're meaning it's taken us 3 hours to play this instead of the usual like 6 or 7, which I'm sure these guys play.
Short in terms of game actions. The actual length of the game we ran probably 2 hours the first time. I think our extend
4 hours this time?
Probably three,
three and a half, four, and something like that.
So what we ended up doing, it's a very simple fix. We just took out a few of our event cards. And the way we played, I think it actually worked out pretty good, where if you take out half as many event cards as what the rule book says, so essentially for out of stage one, stage two, I think we get to a pretty good length, because by the time we got done with our game, we just entered stage three. So the very last turn, myself and Kyle were eligible for our special
and
victories.
And then he had his ability to win.
And he had the normal, he could have won by normal victory. So it was the point where I think is a very good balance, if you add up like maybe twice as many cards what the rule book suggests, kind of thing. So,
you know, based on three players and two players. I don't know how about four players. We'll have to see.
Yeah, sometime we'll have to get to four or five, maybe in six players. But there would be a lot of downtime in a six-player game.
Oh, man, that thing would take a long time.
Yeah, I got a question about the fact, what do you guys think about like ending the game as just wiping out your opponent?
That's
a possibility. We could just always
really,
add
really,
that.
Really long, though.
It would take a long time, but it would be a lot of fun.
Stage, up to stage three, and then, you know, last card stage three it would be the actual end, but... Mm-hmm. The whole game we would be playing till, you know, trying to kill each other, and then there would be a tie, I guess.
I think
there has to be still an end, though.
The thing is, you almost have to have something in that case to deplete resources just naturally without them being forced mined. Otherwise, the game could go on for hours upon hours and hours.
Well, you're destroying each other's bases.
Well, yeah, but even then, you could get yourself in stalemates pretty dang quickly. Like, I mean, over here, Kyle kind of wipes you out, then you went back and wiped out Kyle on the planet.
Well, that's where strategy comes into play.
But you can go back for hours and hours. But the last little thing, and just on that, there is rules in the back of the book for that kind of game.
Okay.
Really?
But it just says you could play until everyone's eliminated instead of normal victory conditions.
You can play until we're 80 years old, too.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, and I bet it could go on that long. So anyway, I get our cards back. Your turn, Ryan. What do you want to do next?
What do I want to do next? Well, you took away my thing, Jason.
Oh, the time card?
Yeah.
If you don't get an idea immediately,
right? Well, I got something to pop into my head. Like the fact that about the fact that you don't get to choose your planets. That's something that's sweet. That's good.
Random planets. You like it?
I do. It took me a minute to think about it, but overall, I think that is for the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, there's some planets you'd like to have. And I'm sure, like, if you're a StarCraft game player, you're just like, oh my gosh, I want this planet because I've seen this planet so many times.
Some of them are in the game. Yeah.
But since I'm not like that, then
okay. I'm trying to think if I like it or not. This is tough because I never really thought about it. I'm going to go say, sure, why not? I like it.
Okay.
Crap monkeys, wrong button again.
And one thing I like about the planets, Jason,
show a different planet. That's a scorekeeping planet.
Yeah, scorekeeping
planet. Show this one.
Okay. I just need a planet without a side.
Okay.
Just explain about how the planets get...
Okay, how it started out?
Yeah.
So how it works, at the start of the game, each is 12 planets. So the number of planets you use is twice the number of players. So in this case, we had 6 planets set up here. And you randomly determine what planet you get, because you have little tokens that have every planet's name on it. And you basically draw them out. And then you basically set up. Then how you set up the galaxies? You take turns, place down a planet, and if you place, you got to place it down to next to another planet, and basically you got to connect it to it. So you make little pathways between the planets. So that's how basically you go one person at a time until everyone's placed down all their planets.
And one option I liked about these planets was the fact that they're on both sides. Like if you don't want to face a planet in this direction, you can face it in this direction, the other person can't connect it to his planet.
Because show this guy up here. Not all four sides of the planet have a little connection where you can actually connect another pathway to it. So that's a really cool whole strategy of setting that.
There's both sides to it. Too,
yeah.
So you can flip it around if you don't like the side that it's on.
Oh, you're right.
Strategically, that can help
that.
In the game.
Does it change anything?
Not really.
Yeah, it changes not a little bit.
It's a little, the planet looks a little bit different because, you know, it's like this side connects here this time, this side connects here, but strategically it's
no, it worked for me in the first time I played because I looked at it, I flipped it around, and it caused me for one, I think it was you, Jason, for not to connect to my planet right next to yours.
Yeah, So but I mean,
I guess.
You can screw yourself over by setting the planets up wrong, like I did the first game. Like the way I set up my home planet in the first game
by itself.
Well, it wasn't by itself. The only two planets I connected to were their two home planets. So the only thing I could do was go to war right off the bat, and that's really gonna get you screwed over in this game. Mm-hmm. And that's why I ended up losing.
Even though you were Zerg, you were thinking, "Oh, I'm Zerg. I can rush to their planets and kill."
Yeah, it didn't work quite as well as I thought it would be.
You're annihilating me pretty good because I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing.
Now, let's see. Do you want to add anything to that? So I want to talk a little about, is this StarCraft
so,
or not?
You know, it's nice, and I mean, I wish that some of these plants would, you know, specifically go, like, maybe they had specifically certain set planets that could go to certain set groups.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe each one
guys,
has,
or
like,
Jim Rayner
maybe,
get his planet or whatever
no,
it is.
Each one has, like, five specific plants, like maybe six specific plants that they can randomly choose from each group, and you can pick, you know, two of them, and then that's what you have for those plants.
Yeah, because it's kind of funny, like, you know, like in terms of the StarCraft universe, the fact that the Zerg can start taking over a planet that is
Tarsonis.
Well, not Tarsonis, but just a planet that they wouldn't normally have in the StarCraft universe.
Yeah, exactly.
But like Marsara was one of the human planets, but yeah. So,
but that was taken over, I think.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think it was taken over.
I don't remember the story, but yeah. So it just kind of odd from a story perspective. Okay, right. So take your cards back, and your turn to go, Kyle.
Well, let me see. I would like to go on about one thing that
holy crap. We're going on a long show already.
Oh, yeah?
Well, we're okay, well...
We've already been going
like
almost 40
minutes.
We might just go into the second show, but all right, go.
I would like to go on the detail of the figures. Unfortunately, you know, this is where one of the other downsides that I have complained about. And, I mean, for $80, they need to have a little bit better, you know, detail. I mean, sure, they got the basic, you know...
No, I'm going against you.
How much did it cost?
$80
for $80.
I have to say for all of this, I thought it'd be more.
So so I'm going against you too. Okay, Kyle. Uh-oh. 3 minutes. Start talking.
I just felt that, you know, hey, it had some nice details. It looks, you know, pretty similar to the game, but
yeah, they do look. They look.
I believe games. You know, hey, it could have, you know, maybe a little bit more, you know, than just the basic blue, orange, and green. You know, you would have your blue color, but it would be, you know, have a better paint job of, you know, just like, you know, how it look in StarCraft. And, you know, hey, maybe I'm expecting too much.
Yeah, you're expecting too much.
This is a good game.
What you're trying to do for $80 is, that just doesn't happen.
I understand how the figures would be. If it, maybe this board game costs maybe like $120, then the piece is probably
better. Board game,
but like, you know, compared to Warhammer 40K, granted these pieces aren't as detailed as the Warhammer 40K, but for $80 you get like 30 figures, and that's it. Or for $80 you get two friggin' tanks. So I mean, the fact you get so there's 180 pieces to this, 180 plastic figures to this game.
180?
And I think they're playing 180. We've only had three factions out.
That's hard.
Have half of the pieces that we've played with in a month.
Okay,
so, I mean, I think even the detail is good enough.
Even though it's not painted, there is still nice specific detail carved out in the figures. So that makes it somewhat realistic.
And if you wanted to, you could do a decent job of painting some of these figures. I mean, I sometimes might sit here and paint the Zerg up and make them look kind of cool, but I like so.
Okay, I can accept that. I mean, as I said, I think it would be just looking a little bit nicer, you know, between, you know, the different factions. Sure, you have a blue color scheme, but maybe have a, you know, a little different paint job possibly on it. You know, just make it a little bit more interesting, I thought.
All right. Well, you know what? We are getting dang close to the end of this podcast. We have not even got it.
I think we'll have to go into a second one.
I know, Ryan, you have to take off.
Well, I got like 20 or 25 minutes.
You got 20 minutes?
But I'd like to take 10 minutes to get ready.
Okay, well, let's go ahead here. We got 5 more minutes, and we'll dive in for at least all 3 of us go for a little while in another episode here. And then, but I wanted to dive in to finish up one quick email. I got two things here. Okay. We'll dive in. We'll do this guy's email, because I promise I'd get him on for this episode. I got an email from a guy named Jeffrey Carroll. He actually does another podcast about miniature wargaming, specifically Warhammer Fantasy, which it's technically in the list of the games we talk about. I've only mentioned it once the entire year. So it's kind of more of a Google hit generator. But yeah, he runs this neat little podcast. Listen to it once. Called Podhammer at podhammer.net. So he talks about tactics, a little bit of painting stuff. He has a cool section that calls the Warhammer Wine, which is basically him ranting about why something's wrong with Games Workshop or something like that. But he has a lot of listener feedback questions. People write and ask him different tactics. He's really knowledgeable about a lot of the different armies. So check it out at podhammer.net. I'll put a link in the show note to it. So you can
take a look at that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. If you like Warhammer Fantasy and some of the more Games Workshop, more complicated stuff, you might like this podcast. So let's dive in with that. And
any more emails?
I guess we got still a few minutes left here for one more email.
That's a big one.
I don't want to hold the camera. I don't see the guy's email address. But when he's writing back about in episode 23, where I had Graham on here, we're doing Warhammer 40K stuff, and I asked a question about something specific to Warhammer 40K, where a certain formation I had with 3 crisis suits and 2 drones, and can essentially, if they're shot at, can the drones take the hits before the crisis suits? Take the hits, because ideally the drones, I want them to be meat shields to die first and extend the life of the more powerful guys with the big weapons. So he writes back, because what was happening was, I was playing where I took the drones off first, and no one ever said anything like I was doing it wrong. It was until finally, like, a last game we played, some guys said, yeah, you can't do that. I'm like, what? So we looked at the rule book, we couldn't find anything to support my point. But, you know, for a month or a year and a half, I played this way, and no one ever said anything. We're totally confused why. And he writes back to tell us why. So he says, the rules changed in the first edition to the second edition of the Tau Codex. There's the problem. Because in the first edition, what I was doing was right. So in the first edition, the rule covered under the target mix units reads as following. When shooting at Tau units containing drones, hits must be allocated before rolling the wound. All drones that can be possibly hit must have hits allocated to them before any are allocated to the rest of the unit. So any hits come in would have to go to the 2 gun drones before they went to the crisis suits. The Tau player then allocated weapon hits to targets. For example, a team of 3 Tau crisis suits and 2 gun drones are hit by a las cannon, plasma gun, and 3 bolts. Where the las cannon and plasma gun are 2 powerful weapons. The 3 bolters are like high-powered machine guns. You're not familiar with 40K. The Tau player then takes a las cannon and plasma gun and hits the gun drones. And then the crisis battle suits are each hit by a bolter. So essentially, the more powerful weapons are applied to the drones. And then the hits would have been applied to the crisis suits. The problem is, second edition, that rule is gone. So now it defaults to the normal 40K rules, which would require the crisis suits to be hit first, because they're the larger majority. However, you still can get away with it if you use the type of drone called a shield drone. Because of the fact that inherits in the armor save of the crisis suits, you guys are like glass over, none of you guys play 40K. But if you play 40K, you know what I'm talking about. So the shield drones inherit the armor save of the crisis suits. So therefore, the first 2 shots coming in, if you have only shield drones, can be applied to the shield drones. The shield drones can die first. Then the crisis suits die. I want to thank Sean for clearing that up for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Where do you have to go?
All right, I'm done. That almost could count as my soapbox card, but no, that was an email. So yeah, thanks, Sean, for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, don't. Oh no, I don't have to.
All right, we're gonna have to wrap this up here. Unfortunately, we'll have to continue this.
This
next might
last even our third episode. If it's going this long for our second episode.
We won't drag it on our third episode. So
well, we will have to actually. We'll have to make a special episode.
Yeah,
then.
We'll have to do something. Maybe do another week.
We may make an X-rated episode just to say, okay, kids don't watch this, but we're gonna go through all this, and it's gonna be colorful language, which I won't be involved.
What I'm saying is, so we might have to do our. This, I guess, won't be our final podcast for
there's going to be one more podcast. There's going to be one more. But there's going to be 2 now, because we're going to drag this review out.
Unfortunately, yes. So, I mean, you guys will have to torment us two more, actually.
The very last podcast, what we're going to do is, basically, throughout the year, we've had a whole bunch of crazy outtakes. There's a few times we kind of like joking back and forth because they're all little personal jokes. And you guys have absolutely no idea what's going on because they're jokes between us and I. So we're going to go.
Us and I?
Us and I. And Kyle and myself.
Us ourselves and we.
Crap. Screw you. Screw all this freaking crap.
That's impossible.
Okay. Seriously, though. So We're going to go through, watch a lot of our old crazy outtakes, and basically do a Misty 3K style, making fun of them, and looking back over the goofy stuff that we screwed up this year, and all the fun we've had in bringing this show to you. So one segment I want to kind of maybe do, if you get enough people to send in, ask us a question. It could be any freaking question in the world. And what you're going to do is send them to jasonandroccosoftware.com and put the subject being question for the tabletop battlefield. Because the reason is, I'm not even going to read them until we record the episode.
Oh, so, you're going to hold us on the spot, are you? Oh my god.
So, yeah, as long as not profane, no disturbing, no racist comments.
We won't answer those.
We reserve the right to not answer any question you send in. So there's no guarantee we're going to answer it on the show. But just for fun, if it's reasonable enough, we will definitely answer any question. If it's fun, we'll take a shot at it. Even if it's making fun of us, that's all right for the very final episode. Yes, so. We're gonna have that coming probably. Well, I guess it'll be 26, 27. But anyway, let's call this. We'll call this one done for the night.
The 26th of December.
No, 26th episode.
Oh, 26th episode.
Yeah. So, all right, let's just call this one done then.
Well, I feel that until next time. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jason. Any questions, comments, or hate mail? Jason@rockosoftware.com. We'll continue this review next time on the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007 Rocko Software, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Blizzard Entertainment Incorporated, StarCraft, and Blizzard Entertainment are trademarks and or registered trademarks of Blizzard Entertainment Incorporated. The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafefighter.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.